The Breakdown, Politics, with Mercer Prescott and his band of eclectic cronies, telling you what you need to know regarding politics. Breaking it down, Politics.
Welcome to another episode of 360 Degrees, part of the Urban Breakdown Network, taping on Monday today. So it's after work, it's a chill vibe, because you know, once Monday's done, the rest of the week is just pretty much just downhill in a good way, you know? Like Monday's just, we talked about this before, Monday's my best day of the week production-wise. Friday, I'm exhausted. And Odie, what's your best day of the week work-wise?
Most productive, probably Tuesday. Tuesday is my best work day, like where I'm actually productive. Monday and Friday, I'm chilling for the most part.
Monday, you're recovering from the weekend. Friday, you're thinking about the weekend.
Basically.
But we got a lot to talk about, so we're going to go ahead and just jump right into it. Odie, what you got for us today?
Okay, so here's a sequel that nobody asked about. But apparently, Miguel Nunez has told people that Juana Man 2 is coming. I love parts of the first Juana Man. Like, is it a classic movie? No. Will I turn away from it if it's on TV? No, also no. But, like, will I go out of my way to, like, buy the DVD if it's in, like, the $5 bin? Or will I, like, go out of my way to just look it up? Like, you know what movie I've been wanting to watch recently, and I can't find it anywhere? I thought it would be on Tubi, but I can't find it anywhere.
What's that?
That movie with Disorderlies, with the Fat Boys. I just want to see, you know, like some movies you just want to see how the jokes kind of held up and how it aged.
You know why I'm laughing? Because we saw that in the movies, and I swear to God, I don't know why I remember this, because that movie came out like 30 years ago, and we're in the movies, right? We're little kids, and you've seen the movie already, right?
Yeah.
There's a part where they were trying to get away. They're in the back of the police car, and then they're driving the police car with like a clothes hanger. It's a comedy, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely ridiculous, yeah.
And we were in Valley Stream, which is like near the city, right? It's like, yeah, Long Island, but it's close Queens. To the city.
It's near Queens, I think. Yes. Because my brother lives in Valley Stream.
Oh, okay. And then I lived in Freeport. That's maybe like, 10 minutes away if you go up Merrick Road? So, or I should say Sunrise Highway.
Okay.
And there was a part where, like, when they were doing that, and then this part, one of the Fat Boys goes, "Yo, he got beat from Brooklyn to do some stuff like this, right?" And then a dude near the front row stood up and just turned to the rest of the crowd. He's like, "Did you hear that? You got beat from Brooklyn to do something like that." And everybody at theaters no one said anything to him, but everybody was just looking at him like, "If you don't sit down, I swear to God." Like, he just interrupted the whole movie for that, you know? But I don't know if that would hold up for me. Like, we enjoyed it when we saw it in the theaters because we were little kids. But right. But I'm curious to see if it would hold up if I saw it today.
Right. And I've been looking for it. So I was like, you know, that movie has been on my mind. Like, maybe I might feel that way about Juana Man in like 5 to 10 years from now. Like, where it's like, because there are like certain scenes too. So for those that don't know what the hell I'm talking about, Juana Man was a movie starring Miguel Nunez and Vivica Fox when she was that fucking girl. Like, and Vivica Fox was in everything.
Right.
She was basically, he was like a really bad person. He had a temper. He played in the NBA. I forgot what his actual character's name was. But Miguel Nunez was in the NBA. He had a temper. And eventually he got kicked out of the NBA and decided that he was going to pretend to be a woman. And Jennifer Lewis was his mom or his aunt, I think. And he went to go live with her in, like, of course, Charlotte, right? To like lay low from all the bad press and shit from the way he had been acting. And so he decides that he's going to be a woman and be in the WNBA, and he becomes Juwan Man. And so yeah, that's basically what it's about. But of course he falls in love with Vivica Fox, who is dating Genuine, which I'm so concerned, fucking Genuine. Genuine's one of his friends is Tommy Davidson, and Tommy Davidson is of course smitten by Juwan Man, and she is rebuffing his advances because of course he's really a guy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's just all this hilarity that ensues. Of course, he gets exposed at the end. So we don't know like what part two could even be about. If I had to imagine in today's climate, it could very well be, I could see them like bringing trans rights into the conversation. Maybe that might be too heavy though for a comedy. So I don't know how they're playing that, but I don't fucking know. It could just be about people being underpaid. Maybe there'll be a Brittany Griner storyline, something like that. I don't fucking know. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he's the coach of the team, of the WNBA team.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what else they could do with that.
Yeah. I'm not sure either, but in today's climate, I'm not sure how some of the jokes will hold up, but I just know my favorite part is this part where Tommy Davidson is trying to like woo Juwan Man, and he's singing a song. He's like, country, got you crazy. And he has these gold teeth, so he looks real country. That part always cracks me up, and that part lives rent free in my head. So I will probably just watch that clip and be good and feel satisfied. Like, okay, that's enough Juwan Man for now.
They have to be doing something along those lines, like you said, because I figured, we always talk about the blaxploitation movies, right? And even though they don't feel like they're making a lot of money, because the production cost is so low, that they always make like a really big profit, right?
Yeah.
But this movie, it cost $15 million to make. Talking about the original Juwan Man, it cost $15 million to make, and it only made $13 million at the box office.
Yikes. Why would they do that? Doesn't even make good business sense then to do a part two.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, so, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know if it's going to come out in the theater, if it goes straight to streaming, maybe, or if they're going to do a
local. Yeah, maybe like they did with Coming to America 2, even though Coming to America 2 wasn't supposed to be like that. But
well, I think because of the pandemic.
Yeah, that was just the pandemic. People would have paid otherwise. But yeah, maybe straight to Netflix. That's the only way I'm gonna watch.
You know, it's funny
when it comes to Netflix or HBO Max or whatever.
Miguel Nunez was actually in one of my favorite horror movies of all time, which is Return to Living Dead, and he was also in one of my least favorite horror movies of all time, which was Friday the 13th Part 5. You know, and I always like Miguel Nunez. You know, but I never
he used
saw
to have him. His own show. I remember, like, he had his own show with James Avery. Remember that show? They were like lawyers, I think. And they were, it was like a father and son thing. Sparks, Sparks, and Sparks. You don't remember that show?
No.
I'm pretty sure it was like on UPN. Let me look up the actual synopsis. But I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I think it was just called Sparks. I had to look it up. Okay. He was in a lot of stuff. I didn't realize he did so much TV stuff.
Yeah, he definitely was on TV. And that's probably, you know, why. Yeah, it was definitely a UPN show. Let's see. It says Robin Givens, James Avery. Yep, Terrence Howard was on there too. And it's only lasted like maybe two seasons. Everyday Lives, it's about the everyday lives of family of lawyers running a family-owned law practice. Reruns of the share of the show aired on BET in the late 90s. And this was from 96 to 98. Yeah, I remember the show Sparks. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely remember the show. Forgot all about it till just now. But yeah. Yeah, Miguel Nunez was I could see why people liked him, but he's been quiet lately. Like I said, I don't know who.
Well, he's actually, I mean, he's been doing a lot of stuff, but it's a lot of like
I don't even see him on Tubi.
It's a lot of stuff that no one's ever heard of. Like, you figure just in 2022, he was in six different movies.
Okay.
But it's nothing that I've ever heard of.
I love to see Black people working, so I'm gonna be quiet.
Oh, true. Don't get
He
me
was
wrong.
definitely a Juana Man type character in Life. Life is one of those movies. It's like I want to watch it
I
again, but then I think
forgot
about how
that was
sad it
him.
actually is.
Oh, I forgot that was him in Life.
Yeah, that's probably how you got Juana Man, honestly. It was his association with Life, you know?
And he was really good in that. I mean, for a supporting role, he was really
Yeah,
good at it.
definitely memorable for sure. For sure. We'll see. I'll let you know if I enjoy it or not, if it ever comes to fruition. I kind of
Okay.
wish that he may not have spoke on it. You know, just like let it come. But maybe that's like a Hollywood thing where they have to like show interest. Maybe it's not on the way yet, but he has to show that there's a market for it and that people want to see it. So, you know, he's speaking it into existence, if you will. I don't fucking know. But we'll see. Let you know how it goes, if and when it happens. Next up, I want to talk about somebody that I had an encounter with. I don't even know when this was, but it had to be at least like 15 years ago. So this story is not out of left field for me, but for some people it is for some reason. I'll also say this too. Like, this is somebody I don't fuck with to the point that when, you know, we were choosing, when I was getting married, we were choosing our songs to like for our first dance and choosing songs that I would walk down the aisle to. You know, you think R&B songs, and not going to take anything away from him, but Brian McKnight is very popular in that arena. But I personally was like, absolutely not fucking with Brian McKnight. My husband absolutely knows why, but he would try to troll me every once in a while. So he would be like, oh, like, let's play, you know, Back at One or whatever, this love song by Brian McKnight. And he knows damn well I don't fuck with him. And this just adds to my list of things as far as why he was trending this week. So, Brian McKnight decided to post a birthday shout out to his daughter. Nothing wrong with that at all. He says, "Today we celebrate you, Jules, on your birthday. Your mom and I couldn't be prouder of you, and I couldn't ask for a better daughter than you!" Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. "Happy birthday to the best daughter ever!" Exclamation point. "Love you a zillion." Then he, if you look at his bio, well, before I even get to that, how does that quote read to you? Does that read like maybe that's his only daughter, or like if you
Pretty
saw that,
much.
would you think that he has other children?
No, I wouldn't.
Or at least other daughters, other girls?
No, because it just seems it's the way he came out with that, it seemed like he only had like one kid. Not even just one daughter, like one kid.
He also says, "Jules, I became a girl dad because of you. You is capitalized, and I couldn't have asked for a better daughter. Here's to you, Jules, the perfect daughter I always wanted."
Wow. That's,
So
yeah.
that again reads like that's like, you know, like my dad had, you know, two boys and me, right? So my dad tells me I'm his favorite daughter. Obviously, that's the fucking truth because I'm his only daughter, right? No harm, no foul. Nobody's gonna be offended by that statement. I'm his only daughter. Now, if he said I'm your favorite child, obviously that's gonna you're my favorite child, then that's gonna take on a different connotation. But you keep talking about the perfect daughter I always wanted. Again, if you only have one daughter, nobody's gonna be offended by that. But the truth of the matter is, Brian McKnight does not have four children. He has six. The four that he claims, however, are by the name of Julia, Jack, Sokoa, Mateo, and Brian K. Makua. I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce Kanoa. Kainoa, Makoa. Brian Kanoa Makoa. Sorry, I'm so sorry for butchering that baby's name. Brian McKnight like just had a baby like last year. Okay, so Brian, for him to name the baby Brian Jr. is crazy, considering that his two adult children, one is named Brian and Brian Jr. And then he has a daughter. I forgot how what his oldest daughter's name is, but that is not his only daughter. Jules, the one that he was addressing. And Black Twitter got on his ass about it, like pretty much like, bro, like we see you not acknowledging your Black children. One of the memes had Brian McKnight when someone asked him about his Black kids, the two adults, and they have the no colored son in a window. Yeah,
Oh,
pretty
wow.
much not acknowledging the colored kids. And of course, you know, there's more people who take the matter a little more seriously. And someone went on to say, even if Brian McKnight is estranged with his bio kids, the shit is sick. It screams emotional abuse. It shows his true heart toward his babies that came from him. Sick, sick shit. And that's from Kenesha on Twitter. Yeah, definitely diabolical shit. I do not support the bum agenda. You can't lay up in my house smoking weed all day. I totally get why Brian McKnight gave up on his first set of kids. Second time's a charm. Whoa. So that's obviously a different take on that. I get why you might not. I get why you might not fuck with your adult kids. I really do. And I'm not opposed to cutting anybody off. You know, if I want to cut like my mom off, you know what I mean? Because she's disturbing my peace. I understand why people do that. I really do. But what I'm not gonna do is like go on and essentially taunt her and like say, you know, oh yeah, like happy Mother's Day to my godmom. Like basically acknowledge every other mom in my life except for my birth mom. You know, like I don't know what those children could have possibly done, but honestly, the kids that he has with that other woman, the second batch of kids or whatever you want to, however you want to refer to them as, they're gonna need therapy too, because the fact of the matter is, it's like they're always gonna have this like perception that they have to be perfect to satisfy their dad, and if they're not, then that's how you get treated. You know what I mean? Like, and they're gonna have all types of complexes associated with that. That's not gonna make them okay. So either way, like he's fucking trash for this shit, no matter how you slice it. And I personally couldn't be with it. Like I remember, you know, when I was single, obviously, I definitely had on my list, like I really didn't want to date men with kids. But if he did have kids, he had to be very involved in their lives. Like I didn't want a bum. And yeah, like that's just not. I don't understand how somebody could be with anybody who treats their own children badly. Because it's just like, what the fuck? Like if you'll treat them like that, I know you'll treat me like, because those people came from you. Like those people came from your blood, from your seed. So there's no way that you're gonna treat me any better. And so that was always a requirement. It blows my mind to watch somebody like him still be in a relationship with somebody else, and it doesn't bother them.
You know, I saw a story to just today where I didn't get a chance to read the whole article, but supposedly some guy, he was online at, I don't guess it's like an amusement park, and it had like the little cars you get in and ride around in, right?
Yeah.
And
Like bumper cars?
say again.
Like bumper cars, or like you talking about like golf carts to get around the park?
It looked kind of like bumper cars, and they were doing the last round before they would get ready to close, I guess. And this guy, he had to be maybe like in his mid-20s. He's like the last guy to get a car. And then there was a mother with a little girl, and they were asking like, could they trade places so the little girl could go on there? And he was like, no. And then he just went on and then just didn't let the little girl ride the cars, because it looks more like a kid's ride anyway, from what I see in the pictures. And people were just like, him not letting the kid on, they were just like, that's fine. But him taping it and putting it on social media, that makes him the asshole. I'm not one to get in anybody's family bit. You know what? It kind of reminds me of people in my parents' generation and where they're from. Their whole thing is, if you put your business out in the street, it becomes everybody's business, which is why they go through great lengths to keep their business in-house, because they know that once it gets beyond the doors, then everybody's gonna weigh in on it and talk about it, and ain't nothing you could do about it then. You know, it's what's that old meme where you see like the old black woman, and then she's like, "You better take my face off that snapbook." You know, it's like that. And here's the thing: I'm not one to get in anybody's family business. Show me a family that's not dysfunctional in some way, and I'll show you like a family that somebody wrote for a sitcom. But it's the fact that he makes it so public, and the fact that he's being such a dick about it. You know, really just turning the screws on his other kids, you know, by putting it out on social media, putting it out on public. You know, that's the part that, you know,
It's
that I
like, even
really
if
don't
they
like
did
about
get themselves together or whatever, it's like you can't undo the amount of public damage and shaming that you've done. You know what I mean? Like, the fuck? Like, basically, are you saying like you've given up on your kids? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
basically.
Like I said, it's, and as a parent, like, you just got to be an adult, the adult in the situation, a bigger person every time, and just say, hey, I'm here for you when you want to turn things around. I will not financially support you, but this is what I'm willing to do to help. That's it. That's it. That's all. Like, yeah, calling her the perfect daughter and all that shit, unnecessary. Like I said, that's gonna create some shit for her. I promise you that. But yeah, he can definitely go to hell on that one, as Lexus Rich has said. Now, this was a post from his daughter in 2019. Daddy's little girl was never really a thing for me. Nobody understands what I've been through except for my siblings. Believe it or not, I'm not always the person I seem to be. I'm not always happy. And most of the time, I'm battling my own demons just like everyone else. I grew up thinking that the things that happened to me and my dad's relationship was my fault. Just like I said, I just said that. I grew up thinking that he doesn't want to come to visit me because he doesn't love me. Constantly put behind other kids that he will call his own while I'm cast into a land far, far away in the back of his mind. It sucks knowing that someone else who's not even blood related comes to you before you in every single way. It sucks knowing that my phone calls have to go through a stranger I barely know, that my text messages are read without a response, and that my stepmother tells me that they wish the best for me. It kills me to know that it's so hard for me and my siblings to get a word in. Not one word. At a very young age, I was always second place in my father's heart, maybe even third, fourth, or fifth, depending on the situation. My father hasn't called to wish me a happy birthday in years, and yet I sit by the phone every single year hoping that one day his heart will change. I'm so fortunate that I have two brothers who are father figures to me, who celebrate me and love me every single day, and that we make up the time that we lost. So I guess they have other mothers too. I don't know. The anger and sadness that I hold in my heart every day over this is sickening. It hurts knowing that my brothers went through this at my age and are still going through it. Now my little sister is going through it at her young age. Don't usually write things like this, but I feel like enough is enough. And like BJ, I want to share my side of the story. This is her brother, Brian McKnight Jr., the first one. I hope that there's someone out there that has gone or is going through the same thing. Some teenage girl who deals with this shit constantly, who can relate to me and tell me her side of the story and know that she's not alone. Brian McKnight Jr. says, "I can't imagine abandoning my children, man. It's hard not to imagine the psyche of a man. It's hard not to imagine the psyche of a man who can truly just turn his back on his actual sons, on his actual blood and creations. It's mind-boggling to me. I don't think there's any situation that merits the way my father has chosen to treat my brother, my sisters, and his grandchildren, one of which being his firstborn son, who also bears his name. So there's a Brian McKnight the third. It's insane to me to have absolutely no, well, I guess, would it be the third? I don't know. it's insane to me to have absolutely no empathy for the type of life to be introduced to be to type of life he introduced us to, only to become, I'm not really sure yet, only to become resentful to us for that life catching up with us. It breaks my heart, but not for myself, specifically for my siblings and my children. They don't deserve this at all, not one bit, and I'm not letting shit slide, not for one second. I've tried my best to take the high road and be the bigger man and all that positive shit, but there is a much bigger issue here when it comes to Black fathers, especially in entertainment, that needs to be addressed. I believe there's a serious discussion that needs to be had, and a part of me truly feels our story is one to begin the conversation that will lead to healing a lot of young men, a woman with abandonment, and women with abandonment issues. Time to tell our side of the story. Son of a legend. Now, I started all this by saying why I ain't fuck with Brian McKnight. I'm not sure which one of these kids allegedly went to school here, right here in Raleigh. I feel like it might have been Brian McKnight Jr., the first one. Went to like Sanderson or something, went to school right here in Raleigh. And so like I say that to say like Brian McKnight does have some ties to the area. And one year he came for the North Carolina State Fair. I don't know if I told you the story before, but get ready because I'm going to tell it again.
Okay. So, I learned. This is actually my first time hearing it. So.
Okay. So he came to the North Carolina State Fair. And, you know, I enjoyed the concert, whatever. I can't remember if you had, I think you did have to pay for the tickets. But it's, you know, it's a state fair. It's not very much. It's like, you know, maybe 10, 20 bucks at the most. And so, he comes to the fair. I go to the show with my mother. We're sitting like in the kind of towards the back row. And throughout the show, they keep saying like, hey, you want to get something signed by Brian? We're going to be at this table back there. Just come to the table. So I'm like, cool, because I'm going to be one of the first people up because I'm at the back. I'm not like in the front row, so I don't have to like bypass a lot of people to get there. So cool, I should be one of the first up.
Right.
So I finally get there and the guy makes the announcement like right after the show wraps, tells us to meet Brian at the back. So I get there, one of the first people in line. I get there and they're like, all of a sudden, Brian McKnight is not saying this, but somebody from his group or his team or whatever is saying like, oh, we're not gonna sign your program. You have to buy a CD and he'll sign the CD. And I said, well, that's not what he said. You know, like the guy's been saying this the whole show. And I was like, can you just, you know, sign it? Like, I don't have any cash. You know, I'm not checking for the CD anyway, but, you know, cause I liked his old shit. You know, I wasn't feeling the new music. Like, who gives a fuck? But also I don't have cash. This is like, you know, 2000s. So like still mostly right. Cashless society, like fuck out of here. So, I'm like, no, like, and so I'm like trying to plead my case to Brian. Like he hears me talking and I say, come on, like, you know, can you sign like my shit, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And this nigga ignores me, straight ignores me. Just keeps talking. Like he doesn't hear me, doesn't acknowledge the people sitting there. I said, it's cool. I'm not that beat to buy that CD. It's fine. And I just walked off. And so it just left a sour taste in my mouth because I'm like, nigga, I know you heard those announcements, but you're so busy trying to sell these CDs. And also, too, this is like during the streaming process. I'm like, I could just stream it. Like, why the fuck would I buy a CD? Yeah. Like, CDs are definitely on the way out, too. Just for additional.
That's probably why they were trying to like strong arm those sales. I'll just go home and pirate your shit.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, no, I'll just go home and like just stream it, you know? Like, it'll be on Spotify. If I really want to hear it, I'll just, you know, do it that way. Which, like, again, like, it's like you are, why would you do some shit like that? Because I doubt that I'm the only person that left like a nasty taste in my mouth. But it's like, if you would have signed my program, you would have had a fan for life. Like, just on GP, I'm going to be like, okay, anytime Brian McKnight comes to town, I'm gonna be a supporter. You know what I mean? Like, versus like a permanent hater. I'm like, fuck that guy. Like, I don't wanna, that's why I said, like, for my wedding, I don't wanna hear no Brian McKnight, like, nothing. I do not fuck with this guy.
She's like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, I went from like, oh my gosh, I really enjoyed this Brian McKnight show to, I'm never gonna listen to another Brian McKnight song ever again in life. And I have not.
I was on that tip even before. I found out Brian McKnight was an asshole. He had a song came out like in 2000, 2001 called like Love of My Life. I hated that song. And I worked in the mailroom then. And, you know, we had the radio on. So, of course, you know, we had the radio on for like 8 hours a day. And that song comes on like three or four times in a day. My supervisor hated that song. And no matter what she was doing, she would be talking to our boss was the director. Like, she was my supervisor. And then we answered to the director of member services or whatever you wanted to call it back then. And she could be talking to him about something serious. And if that song comes on with that horrible falsetto that he does, she will stop what she's doing and she will go to the radio and she will turn the radio down. And that would be the end of that. Like, she hated that song, you know. And you know who else hates Brian McKnight? His fans. Because they stopped buying his music because his last three albums didn't even chart on the top 200.
I'll
put it like this, Odie. There was a an article, right? This is back in like late 90s, maybe early 2000s, something like that, where they had a juxtaposition of Wyclef Jean and LL Cool J, right? At a different signing. And Wyclef was at a signing, and they said that Wyclef was being a total ass. Half the time he wasn't even facing the crowd. You know, he was just being like a stuck-up douche, right? And then they talked about LL Cool J doing a in-store, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the plane was late. So it was a delay because of the weather. So he showed up like almost 3 hours late. All these kids are waiting on him, right? He shows up to the, but he says, I'm still going to, he's not, if the fans are still there, I'm going to be there, right? He makes it there. He gives his publicist some money. And she goes out and she buys, that's when they still had like those Polaroid instant cameras were still popular, right? Yeah. And every fan that stayed behind, he took a Polaroid with them for free. You know, all the fans that stuck it out and waited for him, you know, because of the delay, you know, he was very like fan centric, you know?
You know, like, and that's why LL has the booking gigs. Like, we see him always hosting the Grammys or, you know, all these different shows. Like, he has a lot of like Hollywood appeal, you know? People don't forget shit like that. Like, and if you want to have staying power, you have to be good to your fans, period. But we know he can't be good to his fans because he can't be good to his biological children. So, I mean, are we really surprised here?
Not really, no.
It's funny that you brought up Wyclef, though. We didn't talk about this on the show, but did you know that Praz is going to prison?
I'm still trying to get the whole story on that. Because first I hear he's going to prison for drugs, and then I hear he was like a Chinese agent, and I'm like, I'm probably going to need to read this from the beginning.
Yeah,
there's definitely a couple of chapters I missed here.
Basically, the short of it was he promised some businessmen and the Chinese government he promised them access to U.S. officials, including former presidents Barack Obama and Donald Trump. And so he was found guilty of conspiracy to defraud the U.S. I think the Malaysian businessman was going to pay him like $20 million to take a picture with Barack Obama. Like, that shit was crazy to me. That kind of money, I could see why he was corrupt for that kind of money, but like, what the fuck? Like, the photoshopped him a picture? Yeah, Michelle testified that Lowe, the businessman, paid him $20 million in 2012 in order to get a picture of himself with Obama. And prosecutors alleged that he funneled over $800,000 of that money to Obama's campaign through a number of straw donors. Yikes. So, wow. He going to jail. He going to prison. He faces up to 20 years. So,
you know he's going to serve all 20.
Of course, because he's black.
Yeah. Obviously, he's
I used to. I used to think he was so cute. Like, I definitely had a crush on Praz during the Fuji days. That's wild as fuck.
I'm like, Praz ain't have a hit song since Ghetto Superstar. Was that 22 years ago or whatever it was? I don't even remember.
No, that was definitely before then even. Like, it was definitely in the 90s. Like,
yeah,
at least 98, 99 maybe at the most. Whenever that movie Bullworth came out.
Yeah. Or Praz. But I mean, come on. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking. Well, he's probably thinking about that $20 million.
Yeah. $20 million. Yikes. That's terrible.
They had a dude who was, it was a really, really old Robert Townsend HBO special from like the 80s. And they had these guys who would talk. He was like, Robert Townsend was doing like one of those talk shows, like, a spoof. And he had guys who wanted to fight Mike Tyson. And as one guy who was like, yeah, I got these guys. He said he'll fight Mike Tyson for $100. And he was like, you got these guys out of here who talking about I'll fight Mike Tyson for 10, 20 million. He said, I'd fight my own mother for 20 grand.
That's kind of like,
That's kind of like Proswell. He was just like, he just seen that money and he just all of a sudden he was just doing things he couldn't possibly do. I mean, has he even met Barack Obama? How's he gonna get a picture of this dude with Barack
I
Obama?
mean, apparently, I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't tell you for real.
Roswell is ridiculous. And he's going to prison forever. He's never getting out. Oh God, he better say his goodbyes.
Yeah, he is gone.
Gonna go from ghetto superstar to prison superstar.
Well, he'll be good in talent shows at least.
You know what? He could probably start a super group with R. Kelly when he gets in there.
Very possible.
Oh man.
Let me ask you something. If you let's say you were married, would you wait that out?
For how many years?
20 years.
No,
You
absolutely not.
divorce. You're divorcing.
Not right away. I try and tough it out as much as possible, but divorce would always be on the table, But I don't think that I could just and here's the thing. And I know this is gonna sound kind of weird. Like, if my wife ended up in prison for 20 years, right? I'd definitely divorce her, but I would never abandon her. Like, I'm not gonna be like, well, see you later. No, I
Yeah,
still visit
it's
her.
different.
I still send her stuff. I would still be there for her. But as far as like being married, like, and especially if I know you're gonna do the whole, I mean, if she was doing 20 years, but she can get paroled in like 6 or 7, I could probably wait that out. Be at the parole board, be like, let me have my wife back. But if you were gonna do that whole 20, yeah, we're just gonna get divorced. But I'm never gonna turn my back on you. That's never gonna happen. Like I'm still gonna be there for you. But and I know it sounds kind of weird, but that's probably how it would play out for me. I try and stick it out in the beginning, but I don't know if I could, go through that whole thing if you're gonna do 20 years in prison. And it also maybe depends on what you did the time for.
Yeah, I'm talking like a white collar crime, like prize type crime. Obviously, it's a big crime for 20 years in federal prison.
Yeah, I mean, if it was for something where I could be like where I could understand, but if it was just doing it out of just greed, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I could stick with that. But if you were doing it for something where I could just be like, I understand why you did what you did, and now I'm gonna stick with I'd stick it out for as long as possible, but divorce would always be on the table.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, well, that's all I got.
Okay. So since we were talking about weirdos and scumbags, you ever hear of a dude named Steven Crowder?
No. Not before we did our pre-brief.
Yeah, Steven, you're better off not knowing who Steven Crowder is. He's one of these right-wing Christian nutbags. And the thing is, when I say that, it's basically like people who say that they're Christian and then just do the exact opposite of what Christians do because they're just trying to just fleece people out of their money. So he had this whole thing where he was just like, me and my wife waited until we got married to consummate the marriage. And everybody who doesn't do that, you guys are doing it wrong and all this other stuff, right? And from his show, I mean, he is just, he tells, you know, he tell he does all this racist stuff. He does all this anti-trans stuff, anti-LGBTQ stuff. He's just an ass, If you ever see those memes, where it's like where they Photoshop it, but it says change my mind. Like he's sitting in front of like a desk in front of a college, in front of a table. That's Steven Crowder. Because he likes to go to college campuses and like debate unprepared college freshmen. But he wouldn't debate Sam Seder from Majority Report. And I'm not even gonna get into that. That's like a whole nother thing. That was actually pretty hilarious. where Sam ambushed him on his own show. And then he basically just kind of ran. But Steven Crowder is getting a divorce from his wife, right? And in Texas, they have, I guess it's called no-fault divorce or something like that. I may have the terminology wrong.
Yeah.
But both parties don't have to initiate the divorce. If one person wants a divorce, you get the divorce. So his wife filed for divorce, right? And then he tried to monetize his divorce. Now, he'd already gotten into a big falling out with Daily Wire. Daily Wire, which is Ben Shapiro's people, offered him a 5-year, $50 million contract. But in the contract, it said that if he gets demonetized, he's got to pay them for the money that they lose. And someone like Steven Crowder is always going to be demonetized because he's just a racist, sexist, bigot, douchebag, you know? So you don't get just money for nothing. And he was trying to monetize his divorce and going through this whole thing. But I don't even know how this journalist got this stuff. Maybe his wife gave it to them. I don't know. But they have like those Ring doorbells where it takes a video of everything.
Yeah.
And it actually has sound, which I didn't know that they had sound.
Mm-hmm.
But he had one, I guess it was, you know, on his, you know, showing his backyard. His wife at the time that this video was taken, I think it was like maybe like in 2021 or something like that. She was like 8 months pregnant. And he's just sitting in a lawn chair, just smoking a cigar. But his wife is 8 months pregnant. He's telling her she has to go run errands for him, right? Go to a grocery store and pick up a bunch of stuff, like pick up, you know, meat to grill and, you know, stuff for his fancy grill. But she can't take the car. For some reason, they only have one car. Like you make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year doing your shtick. You only have one car. That's just something for control. But he's berating her. Like, you know, you're not doing your wifely duties. And then he got madder because before she did that, she was supposed to, their dog has cancer. And I'm not laughing at the fact that the dog has cancer. It's just something that Chapo Trap House said that made me laugh. But basically, the dog has to have like these pellets
for treatment,
but they're toxic to pregnant women, right? So she's trying to get Steven to give the dog the medicine. And he was just like, "Won't you just put on gloves?" And I'm like, dude, she's pregnant. Not only is she pregnant with his kid, she's pregnant with twins.
Mm.
And if you watch the video, he's just being a complete and total ass. And yeah, he's getting, he's probably going to get washed in that divorce, you know?
You know what's crazy to me? Like, and this is like what really, really pisses me off is when chauvinists really talk about how like women need to like have these certain standards and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And things need to be the way they used to be, but obviously like they're not making the men the way they used to make them either. You know, it's like if you're gonna ascribe to that type of thinking, then at the very least what you need to be is that type of man. You need to be the type of man that's like, if you want your woman to stay at home barefoot and pregnant or whatever the fuck, then you need to be the type of man that makes so much money that that's what she can do. If that's what she wants to do, if she doesn't want to work, then you need to make so much money that she can sit her pregnant ass down. You need to be the type of dude who knows how to fix cars and change the tires and, you know, fix shit around the house. Like, you need to be that guy. And a lot of them ain't. And I just don't understand, like, why, where all these standards are coming in for the women, but they don't have them same standards for themselves. I was just reading a little, like an old clip in a newspaper where it was like asking these men, like, is it okay to spank your woman? And all of them were saying yes. And the extra crazy part to me was a lot of them led with like their professions. Well, I won't say a lot because it was only like 3 or 4 responses. But like, I definitely remember 2 of them leading with their profession. And one was a fucking barber. And the other one was like a car attendant or valet or something like that. And he was like, yeah, because you got to know how to like, you got to teach him respect or, saying all types of wild chauvinist type shit. And this was like,
And I was gonna ask, when you say spank, you mean like sexually or like
no, they
corporal
were definitely
punishment?
not. This is from the 1950s. So when they said spank, they meant like slap her, definitely slap her to teach her respect and shit like that.
Oh, Jesus God.
Yeah. So it's giving me that kind of energy, what he's saying. But again, like I said, these men led with their professions. And I'm just like, wow, like I'm sure a man with an actual good job will, want to damn near kill you if the guys who are barbers and valets think they can get away with spanking or smacking.
You know, the thing
Surely
I
the
don't
other
like.
guys are going to be rougher.
Yeah, the thing I don't like about people like Steven Crowder is that they always talk about, I'm a good Christian man. She's a good Christian woman, and we have a good Christian relationship. But they don't know shit about Christianity. They don't know Bible quotes. It's kind of like Donald Trump and the whole 2 Corinthians thing, because they asked him what his favorite Bible verse. He was like,
Yeah.
"Oh, the whole book is good. I like the whole book," And then he said, 2 Corinthians, and that's has been like the punchline ever since. There are atheists who know the Bible better than Steven Crowder. The only part about the Bible that Steven Crowder knows and understands and believes in is that women are supposed to be subservient to men. That's it. He doesn't know shit else about the Bible, right? And now it's at the point where even though he's still, I don't even know if he's still making like a lot of money on his show anymore, but I mean he's pretty much done for at this point. No one's gonna hire him, And you figure somebody like Bing Crosby was a horribly abusive guy, right? Especially to his kids, but no one knew about it till after he was dead. Because it's not like now where you could like your doorbell could tape you of berating your wife and it ends up on the internet or ends up in a journalist's hands and he posts it in an article. Like a lot of people, I always talk about how sometimes the Me Too movement could be a bit harsh, and it's overcorrecting from the fact that a lot of these people, like these stars and all these people who abuse women and just abuse people their entire careers, like no one found out about it until after they were dead. And then it came out, oh, this guy was a piece of shit. But now, like people like Steven Crowder get to see it in real time. Like you see this guy berating his wife because she won't feed radioactive pellets to their dog that could be toxic to their unborn twins. Like what a piece of shit this guy is. And then he had the nerve to be like, talk about because the kids he already has. He was like, well, it's not the kid's fault. I'm like, of course it's not the kid's fault because the kids are not in the video berating their mom. You're sitting there berating her. I love when people just like, oh, it's not the kid's fault. Like, yeah, we know. I don't see very many 8-year-olds breaking up marriages. What a fucking douche. And yeah, he's been getting, put it like this, even Candace Owens, a bigger piece of shit as she is, even she was dogpiling on him. And that's, that you have to be the lowest of the low where Candace Owens is dunking on you. So if I was Steven, I would crawl into a little hole and just never ever come out. We always knew you were a piece of shit, Steven. Now we have it on video for all the world to see, But now I'm not gonna come out and call this guy a piece of shit because I know this is still ongoing. Jonathan Majors, I keep hearing all this stuff back and forth, right? About Jonathan Majors, his lawyer who won't shut his fucking face, restraining orders and all this other stuff, right? And I love how like I stopped reading a lot of these clickbaity articles because they will literally come out and instead of them just saying, this is how I feel about Jonathan Majors, they'll find one person on Twitter who has that same opinion and then write an article based on that one person on Twitter. And they were just like, dog shit 41 says that such and such and such and such. And then that's the article. Like, well, who else said that? Nobody.
Right.
You know, you're talking about the opinions of one nutbag. Like, what the fuck are you doing? But they were saying that the rest of the cast of Quantumania, you know, the last movie Jonathan Majors was in, should all be canceled because they're not speaking out against Jonathan Majors.
What?
Yeah.
Because first of all, this man hasn't even been convicted yet. So
exactly.
We don't know the facts of anything. But okay, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Marvel is playing it safe. I mean, even though everybody else done dropped them, right? Marvel's playing it safe because on the one hand, they don't want an Ezra Miller situation where they have a psychopath in their movies to the point where they can't start over and they have to leave him in there. But then again, they don't want a James Gunn situation where they jump the gun, fire him, find out he was totally innocent or justified, and then have to rehire him. You know, James Gunn, of course, is the director of Guardians of the Galaxy movies. You know, they when they fired him, the cast was getting ready to walk. But they found out, I mean, real quick, they found like an offensive tweet that James Gunn made like 10 years ago. He used to work for a movie company called Troma. And Troma, they make like low budget, over the top, super gory horror movies. So he worked for the company at that time and he tweeted on their behalf. So that's where that weird offensive tweet came from. I don't even know if it was a tweet. That was so many years ago that thing happened. I don't know how old Twitter is. But people found it out, and then they blew it up, and then Disney jumped the gun, and they fired him.
Mm.
They looked like a bunch of jackasses when they did that. So now James Gunn, you know, he fulfilled his contractual obligation, finished Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but now he works for DC. So now him and somebody else, they run the DCEU now. So they have a whole bunch of projects coming out. You know, now he works for, and put it like this, James Gunn might have went to DC anyway because supposedly DC gives you more creative control, right? And they're not stuck to the storylines like they are in Marvel. But I mean, it was still a horrible look for Disney. So I think Disney's doing the right thing, which is what everybody should do, really, is just let's see how this plays out.
Pretty much.
Put it like this, and it made me laugh when Dave Chappelle talked about it, because in all the people, you know, the Jussie Smollett thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It made me laugh out loud till my stomach hurt because I thought the same thing. When all my Facebook friends were like, justice for Jussie and all that other stuff. And I'm like, this story just is not adding up. Mm-hmm. Let's see how this plays out. And sure enough.
Nobody can make you eat your words when you just don't say anything.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but we'll see what happens with the Jonathan Majors thing. But there's been so much stuff floating around, like, you know, they're like, oh, they found somebody else. And, you know, to play, you know, let's just let this thing play out. I think he has his arraignment sometime in May, I think. And we'll just see what happens. But please, people, don't click. If they have an article where they make you click on it to find out what happens and then you find that it's all about nothing, that's your fault. Please don't click on those clickbait articles. You know, that's like people who get. And here's the thing. I don't want to rag on people like that because everybody's not that savvy for the things that we consider to be simple. But I got a text from Fifth Third Bank, who I don't bank with. And they were like, there's suspicious activity on your account. So click on this link and then we'll get you sorted out. And I'm like, I don't bank with you guys. And second of all, you're giving me a link that's just a bunch of letters and dashes. And it doesn't even say Fifth Third Bank on it. So I'm just going to go ahead and block this number, you know. But there are some people who will be like, oh, my God, I don't want to close the account from the bank I don't bank with. Click, steal, identity thefted. So everybody's not that savvy, but when you clicked on a few of those clickbait articles, you'll know what to look for. So please stop reading that stupid horse shit. And let's just let this whole thing play out. Speaking of letting things play out, Odie, I know you're not that big a basketball fan. So I'm going to go through this.
I have been watching, though.
Oh, okay.
Not of my own free will, but yes.
Understood. One of my coworkers is a huge basketball fan. And when we're in the Zoom meeting, she's always tired because she's watching the playoffs. She watches the late games. And then she wakes up in the morning and she was talking about it today, like watch on ESPN. And she's like, I know all this already because I just watched it a few hours ago. So NBA, the first round of playoffs just completed yesterday, even though the second round, they don't wait for the rounds to finish. They'll just, if the teams, for a second round is completed, they'll just go ahead and start that. Right. So the first round, the second round kind of matched into each other. But I'll go over the first round real quick because there are some things that kind of stand out to me. You had Nuggets versus Timberwolves, right? In the Western Conference. Timberwolves got beat up 4-1. Nuggets are the number one team in the West, right? Their team is awesome. Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, these guys are not playing around anymore. They want this more than anything. And Timberwolves, like Karl-Anthony Towns, just kind of gave up halfway through. Rudy Gobert sucks. I mean, they traded so much stuff for Rudy Gobert. It was absolutely ridiculous. They traded, Minnesota traded four of them, reading this, I forgot to put where I got this from. But it said Minnesota traded four first round picks and one first round swap, the draft rights to Walker Kessler, who ended up being rookie of the year, and veterans Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, and Leandro Bolmaro. Right? They all went to the Utah Jazz for Rudy Gobert. Yes, Rudy Gobert is three-time defensive player of the year, but Rudy Gobert is also 30 years old. And he's on a max contract. So, what exactly are you supposed to do with Rudy if he doesn't work out, which it didn't do? One of the reasons why they lost because he got suspended for a game for fighting with his own teammates. Because his teammates hate him because he fucking sucks. And them getting, they basically traded their entire future for five playoff games, four of which they lost. So the Timberwolves trade is possibly going down as possibly the worst trade in NBA history. So we'll see what happens with that. Then you had the Suns and the Clippers, right? Suns also won 4-1. Russell Westbrook ended up on the Clippers, right? Russell Westbrook has been going through it the last couple of years. He's been on from team to team, and he's just been sucking really bad. And people were saying that he was washed, right? And then he was on the Lakers, and he was just bricking everything. And then they started calling him Westbrick, which he hated. He bristled at it. He called him Westbrick, and he's like, mad. And then he just shoots more bricks, just denting backboards with his shots. And then they traded him to the Clippers. So it started to work out. Paul George was injured for the rest of the season, right? Kawhi Leonard plays when he wants to, which is almost never. And then Russell Westbrook got the ball in his hands and he's doing great, right? All throughout that series, even though they were getting beat up by the Suns, they were still, Russell was still doing his thing. So now their backs are to the wall, right? Kawhi Leonard's out, Paul George is out, right? And now this is Russ's time to shine, right? For him to go out in a blaze of glory, right? Go out with a gun in each hand, shooting at the bad guys, taking 10 bullets in the chest and still shooting. What does Russ do? He shoots 3 for 18 in an elimination game. That's the Russell Westbrook I know. Because when it comes time for the showdown, Russ ain't gonna be there. Russ is a stat stuffer, but he's not a winner. Not even close. So he's going to be possibly next to Carmelo Anthony, possibly like the worst Hall of Famer ever. So, and he, and you know, he was talking big shit about, he wasn't talking shit about LeBron out in hand, but after the trade, they played each other, the Lakers and the Clippers, and the Clippers won, and Russ did really good that game. So he was kind of strutting around like George Jefferson. And now LeBron's still in the playoffs and Russ is home. Yeah, he's just home, just sulking or whatever the hell he does. Then, speaking of the Lakers, you had the Grizzlies and the Lakers, right? Lakers, were 7th seed. Grizzlies were number 2 seed. Ja Morant, who's a wankster, you know, this dude grew up in a good home and thinks he was on Instagram with that gun and done a lot of trouble for that. Dylan Brooks wants to be he wants to be Dennis Rodman so bad. Wants everybody to hate him, but then hates being called a villain. I'm like, you picking fights with people? You picking fights with people in the stands? You almost got your ass kicked by Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp still looks like he just beats people up every day, and you want to pick a fight with that guy? Okay, we'll see how that turns out. Shannon Sharp still looks like he lifts weights every day, and you want to fuck with that guy? That played on some of the toughest football teams for 10, 12 years? Okay, go for it. Whatever. But Dylan Brooks was ragged on LeBron. He was talking about LeBron's old. You know, I ain't going to respect LeBron until he gives me 40. You know, all this other stuff. And Dylan Brooks shot like shit that entire series. That entire series he shot like shit. And Lakers watched him. They lost 4-1. No, I think it was 4-2. It was 4-2, sorry. But Dylan Brooks is a paper tiger. Somebody had a tweet. They said LeBron's age, 38.3. Dylan Brooks' shooting percentage, 31.2 for the Lakers series. So it was. I was very happy to see Dylan Brooks get punched in the face like that, metaphorically. And then the icing on the cake is that he left before the press came. So he didn't face the press because you knew they had questions for him and he left.
Mm.
So Dylan Brooks is a pussy. Fuck him. You know, I mean, they're going to do good next season again, but maybe next time he'll keep his mouth shut and play basketball and stop picking fights all the time and stop being a jackass. We'll see. And then actually the best series in the West was Golden State and Sacramento. Sacramento's still an up-and-coming team, you know. They were 3rd seed, Golden State was 6th seed. So Golden State is much better than they were seeded, right? It just goes how much, you know, how tight things were in the West. And it went to 7 games. Now, who's the exact opposite of Russell Westbrook? Steph Curry. Because elimination game, game 7 on the line, Steph dropped 50 on him. 50 points in the elimination game.
Okay.
So he was not playing with these people. The polar opposite of Russell Westbrook. And here's the thing. You're not going to win every game. You're not going to win every series. But when it's on the line, and here's the thing. You're going to have that one series where you don't do well. You just pick it up the next time. But nope. Russ is just Russ, and Steph is going to be Steph. When Steph goes to the Hall of Fame, he's going to deserve it. Russ is going to get it because, well, he did score a lot of points. That's why he'll get in there. Speaking of huge upsets, the Miami Heat, number 8 seed, took out the Milwaukee Bucks, the number 1 seed in 5 games. I know in one of the games, Antetokounmpo hurt his back. And it wasn't like in a fake way, like what's his name, like Ben Simmons. I've done that before playing basketball. When you go up and you come down wrong, oh, God, that hurts so much. So.
Yeah, especially when you're like damn near 7 feet tall, I would imagine.
Yes. So, yeah, I definitely got it. So he was out for a game. And then even though Miami suffered a loss of their own, Tyler Herro.
I did like Giannis's response, though, when he was like, look, yo, like Michael Jordan didn't win all those games, or, you know, you wouldn't call him a failure, so get the fuck out of here with that.
Basically, let me ask you a question, Odie. When you hear the term, someone snapped, what do you think?
That they, like, yelled it, they raised their voice, they just went off, cussed you out, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Now, there was an article that said that Giannis snapped at the reporters, right? And there were a lot of I'm not gonna diss him and call him OTEPs or nothing like that. That's not fair. But But I think what happened was they just didn't really read the situation, right? Or just read the dictionary, right? And I know I'm being holier than thou in this case, and you know, that's fine. But here's the thing. If you look up snapped in the dictionary, right, both meanings are there. So yes, that is a meaning of snapped. Like if you went off and started yelling and started cursing and losing control, that is snapped. But also snapping at someone is just being annoyed. So that's basically what Giannis did.
Also to the black people version, like where they snap and meet you getting cracked on for how you talk or something like that.
Now that wasn't in the dictionary. I think that may be in the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But that wasn't in the Webster's. But both versions of that are in the dictionary. So when people were talking about, oh, well, he didn't snap, you know, he just responded to their stupid question. They didn't realize, no, that person was using, and there's probably a different word that they could have used, but he didn't use the word incorrectly. Giannis did snap at him because he was annoyed. He was definitely annoyed because you could see in his face. I mean, he was just like, why would you ask me that? And he didn't raise his voice. He didn't yell, but he was clearly annoyed. And you were right. He was like, Michael Jordan played for 15 years, won 6 titles. Were the other 9 seasons failures? You know? And don't get me wrong, it hurts to be number one seed and get taken out in the first round. You know? But the season's it's like sportscasters are just dog shit these days. And they're just more worried about making people mad and getting sound bites so people will click on their dumbass websites. You know? My Knicks won, and they're, you know, I think this is the first time they've been in the second round of playoffs in 10 years.
That's wild business. Yeah, didn't see that coming.
So the Knicks are, now don't get me wrong, they lost to Miami yesterday. It was a close game, you know. But I got to tell you, Jimmy Butler's not playing with these people. Jimmy Butler is like, when Jimmy Butler was on Minnesota with Carl Anthony Towns and all them, he was literally like, these guys are soft. I want off this team. And he actually forced them to get out of the contract, you know? And because there are not that many people who can match Jimmy Butler's energy as far as wanting to win. He wants that title more than anything. So 8 seed means nothing to him. He doesn't give a shit what seed he is. He just knows, you're my opponent. We're going to try and take you out. So we'll see what happens. Brooklyn got washed. They got swept by the 76ers, which was going to happen. I mean, they're undermanned. You figured last season they had James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. Now they have none of them. So they were lucky that they were 6th seed in the first place. But yeah, the 76ers, just Joel Embiid, James Harden, they made short work of them. It was kind of sad. You know what kind of reminded me of? And I know it's a weird visual. You ever watch wrestling? Yeah. And when somebody gets thrown over the top rope, right? And then they whip them over the top rope. They fly over the top rope and hit the ground. They had a Royal Rumble where it was the Big Show and Kane who were teaming up and getting people. And that's when Big Show's finishing move was a knockout punch. He would literally just punch you in the face and knock you out. So they were doing that to people. And when they did that, like the guys that they're on the ground, they would just grab them and then just gingerly just toss them over the rope. Like just so disrespectfully. Like they wouldn't just like whip you over the rope. They were like, here you go. Just get you over the rope. Okay, good. Get out of here. Who's next? That's what 76ers did to Brooklyn. They just took them and just gingerly just put them over the rope. Here you go. Goodbye. You know? I think, you know, we'll see what happens next year for Brooklyn, but I can't understand it, man. I blame Kyrie Irving. And then what does Kyrie Irving do? He goes to Dallas and helps Dallas not even make the playoffs. So Kyrie Irving is basically like, I don't know. Yeah. I can't call it. And then last but not least, Celtics handled the Hawks 4-2. Trae Young is an ass. And I know I'm still harboring some feelings from last year when the Hawks took us out in the first round of the playoffs and Trey was being a dick about it. And don't get me wrong, the one part where it's like a disproportionate response is that somebody spit on Trey. And I'm like, okay, you do not do that. I think that dude got banned. I have to look it up again to find out what happened to him, but they were pretty harsh on him, and he deserved it. You don't spit on people. That's horribly disrespectful, right? So, but Trey is basically just, he's an ass. You know, he's just a hard person to work with, and he doesn't play any defense. So he's a great player, you know, as far as offense goes. But then again, you kick over a trash can, and offensive players come crawling out with headbands on, shooting three-pointers. You know, he's not that special in that regard. Luke, you got Luka, you got Ja Morant, you got, hell, even some of the older players who were still doing it, like, you know, I almost said Damon Stoudemire, Jesus Christ. No, I think that was one thing enough. I mean, it's what makes the people really stand out is being a two-way player in these days. I mean, Jordan was a great two-way player. LeBron is a great two-way player. You know, Kobe was a great two-way player. Those are the people who make the upper echelon. Trey is going to just be one of the people who are like, yeah, he should be in the Hall of Fame. And they're like, yeah, but he don't play no defense, so fuck him. So we'll see what happens. But I was happy to see the Celtics just handle the Hawks, you know. And here's the thing. I have nothing against anybody else on the team. I just don't like Trey Young. But before we wrap up, I know some of this may be a bit before your time, but I still want your opinion on this. BET is doing this bracket thing, right? And I always find these to be a lot of fun. So they're doing...
There's a Beyonce bracket thing on TikTok right now. And I get so frustrated at people's responses. It like pisses me off. I'm like, I never would have
picked this. When you say a Beyonce bracket, like what's going on with that bracket?
Basically like just pitting up different Beyonce songs against each other.
Oh, okay.
So like, yeah. Yeah. And they piss me off because it's like, there's some really underrated songs up there. This song, Why Don't You Love Me, is like probably one of Beyonce's most underrated songs. She never performs it live. It's such a good song. It's such a good song. And a lot of people don't pick that one, and it pisses me off.
Why Don't You Love Me? That's not from Dreamgirls, is it?
No, but it sounds like it could have been, honestly. No, it was. I forgot what album it was on, but it was not on Dreamgirls. Oh, it was on her like actual projects. Mm-hmm.
But they have this bracket, so they have like who's like the greatest crew of all time, right? So today they opened up the East Coast crews. Tomorrow is going to be the Midwest. Wednesday they're going to open up the West Coast crews, and then Dirty South is going to be Thursday. And then of course, you know, it's 32 crews, and then they're going to wind it down to see who's number one. So, for the East Coast crews, they had these, right? They had Wu-Tang Clan versus Dreamville.
Okay, well, the reason I don't think that that's a good matchup is only because Dreamville is not like Wu-Tang, you know what I mean? Like, Wu-Tang is really, like, Dreamville is a collective. Uh-huh. Wu-Tang is a bunch of individual rappers that form a group. You know what I mean? Like, it's different.
Yeah.
It's different. I wouldn't compare them. I think that's apples to oranges, but whatever. Sure, we'll go with it.
Yeah. I voted for Wu-Tang, of course. I grew up on Wu-Tang, so that was an easy pick for me. Now, this may be a bit before your time, but then they also had Native Tongues, which included like a Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, Jungle Brothers, Queen Latifah, versus the Juice Crew, which was Kool G Rap. I don't know if Big Daddy Kane was officially in the Juice Crew. MC Shan, you know, like a lot of dudes from the mid to late 80s. So I picked Native Tongues, obviously, you know, being a huge De La Soul fan, being a huge Jungle Brothers fan, Tribe Called Quest fan. For me, that was a no-brainer. You know, I think I put it like this for that for the Wu-Tang versus Dreamville. I think Wu-Tang has it hands down, but if enough young people jump in on it who are more attuned to like J. Cole and their crowd, it may be a toss-up. But I think Native Tongues will take that second one. And then they had Rockefeller versus G-Unit. I picked Rockefeller not because I like Jay-Z, but I do like some of the other people that's in his crew, like Memphis Bleek and all them. And then I'm not really a fan of G-Unit, 50 Cent and all them. Lloyd Banks.
Lloyd Banks is actually pretty good. He's probably the best rapper out of the crew.
I agree with you on that, definitely. But I picked Rockefeller. I mean, I'm not a Jay-Z fan like that, but if I had to just put them together, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna pick Rockefeller on that one. And then last one, they had Bad Boy Family versus Rough Riders. That was a tough one. I because you figure Rough Riders was like DMX and
Eve.
Yeah.
But honestly, beyond DMX and Eve, it really wasn't that. Well, technically, I feel like, didn't the Lox kind of double dip into Rough Riders territory too? So like, wouldn't they be able to claim the Bad Boy side too?
I think in this one they had
power of numbers though. Like Bad Boy just has more artists.
Yeah, period. and then plus Biggie is part of the Bad Boy family, so that was a no brainer for me.
I mean, that's some heavy lifting.
Yeah, but I had to give Rough Riders a look. I did enjoy some of their stuff, and then but I mean, you figure between if you want to count the first couple of Lox albums, you know, that Puffy did for him, you know, I like this. I like their post Puffy stuff better, but I had to give it to the Bad Boy family. Now it doesn't let you know who's in the rest of the brackets. They kept them hidden until they come out, but I'm curious. I'm going to vote in all these. I have fun with stuff like that. So, you know, I always like, I, you know, I have like a little solo podcast that I do once in the blue moon. Like, so whenever like Billboard has like top 200 rappers or greatest singers of all time, I'll just do something and just go and I'll just go through the list and, you know, share my thoughts on it. So I'm not going to do one for this one. I'll just keep it here. And then like, as the brackets come out, we'll just see, actually by the time we have our next show, the rest of the brackets will be out. So we'll see who's on there. But if I had to just, you know, it's probably going to end up being Wu-Tang and Dungeon Family. If I had to take a guess from it, because you know Dungeon Family is going to be Dirty South. That's going to be for sure. So, and but then again, West Coast, you know, it's going to be Death Row, which is going to be hard to beat. So we'll have to see. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. I'm going to be curious about that. So, but Odie, what are your final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Don't act like it's a surprise when the person you hired does a trash thing that you expected them to do. Talking to you, investors at Adidas, who are now trying to sue them because the Kanye West collaboration is not happening for obvious reasons. And mm-hmm. He did all the things you expected him to do. I don't understand. I guess like my takeaway for the week, final thoughts is just don't be surprised when the person behaves the way you expected them to. That's all. Just believe in the first time that they showed you that behavior.
Exactly. And I will say this, always be careful where you get your news sources from and where you get your information from. Somebody brought up a great point, and I tested this at lunchtime today, and it actually worked. If you go to Instagram and you look up France, right? It will give you all this tourism stuff, you know, all this Eiffel Tower stuff. If you go to TikTok and you put in France, the first videos that will come up will be about the rioting and protesting that's going on in France over Macron basically bypassing the parliament in order to raise the retirement age. you know. And somebody brought out something which I didn't even catch, but Macron was on TV basically trying to dissuade people from rioting and protesting. And they show that, like, when he's talking, right, you see his wrist come up. He's got a $35,000 Rolex on, right? So then he kind of notices, oh, yeah, I got this Rolex on. So his hands go under the table. He takes off the watch while he's under the table. So then when his hands come up again, he doesn't have the watch on anymore. I'm like, dude, it's on video. Of course they're going to notice it. Like, that's the dumbest thing I'd ever seen in my life. So I got banned from from Facebook for repeating something that the Chapo Trap House said. They said that how Americans are pussies when it comes to defending their rights, and that if you told the French, hey, we needed to work an extra half hour a month, said every car in Paris would be on fire. And then weeks later, Macron tries to pull that bullshit, and now cars in Paris are on fire. So the Chapo Trap House, call it or did they call it, right? The same energy they had for this, we should have had for Roe versus Wade when they overturned Roe v. Wade. You know, I seen people have more energy because two video game characters kissed than for your actual rights. I saw an article yesterday.
Don't forget about when they was protesting not to wear masks.
Oh God, they had rallies, they had bonfires, they're throwing masks into the fire. I mean, we just protested dumbest shit. It's absolute insanity. Did you know that RV sales are skyrocketing because people can't afford houses? So people are buying RVs to live in them.
I can believe that.
Because they can't afford houses. Because corporations are buying up all the houses. But I bought the DLC for Horizon Forbidden West. And the lead is a female. And there's another female in the DLC. And in the end, you know, they get kind of close. And then there's an option. Like, if you click the option that just says, you know, I feel the same way, they'll kiss. Right? Totally optional. You don't have to make them do that. You don't know that they're going to kiss. It just says, you know, I feel the same way. And then they kiss. Of course, the right wingers went ballistic about that. Now, here's the thing. If those same right wingers write an article that people are buying RVs because people can't afford houses, they're like, well, you should have taken a different course in college. Like, these people are, you can't take them seriously for anything. So please just be careful where you get your information from. And just remember that if you're getting your information from mainstream media, or even places like Meta, you know, Instagram, I know they're the same company, all that other stuff. There is a wealth of stuff that you are not getting. You know, read some alternate sources. And when I say alternate sources, I don't mean trutheagle.net or If You Only News. I mean, there's a lot of independent places, like The Lever is a new one I've been reading lately that have some really good stuff. Even your local newspapers have a lot of information on it. On just what's
going on. I will say this, if you have to click a button that says click here to read more, then that's not enough information. It's not enough enough information of value.
Right. Exactly. They just want you to cycle through ads.
Exactly.
To make ad revenue. So, but anyway, you can catch us wherever you get most podcasts. We're on Spotify, Apple, and I guess we're on iHeartRadio. I haven't been on there in ages. I don't even know if it still exists. So, everybody have a great evening. Odie, I will see you next time.
All right. Bye, guys.